Blog Talk Radio.
This is James Dick with North Florida Writer Live on a Friday evening. This show is kind of unplanned because it was supposed to have been done yesterday. Kind of a strange situation. I'm not sure what exactly happened, but we were in the middle of a discussion of the rise of Donald Trump to the point where he had closed out all the opposition, which is what he's done. But we began to talk a little bit about where the campaign was headed, and we started talking a little bit about Hillary, and bingo, the signal went out. I don't know if it's divine providence, if it's the black knights of the drone world, what it is, but we decided to come back tonight and pick up where we left off and present the rest of the story. But in the interim, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan interjected himself into the Trump candidacy. So decided it was time to take a new tack. Rather than look at the Hillary competition, we'll focus instead on the Republican Party and what it's going to be doing from now until the convention this summer is concluded. But I think it's also worthy to note exactly what Paul Ryan said. He started by congratulating the Donald. He stated that the people had spoken and that the Republican Party apparatchiks must understand that America seeks something that has not been provided, putting Americans first. But up until that point, his remarks were spot on. But for some reason, he decided to throw in a curveball. And boy, did he. He stated that he wasn't ready to endorse Trump at this time, that Trump needed to support his plan of governance. So the Donald, in very quick and characteristic manner, he replied back that he didn't support Ryan's plan because his plan had nothing for the American people in it. It was only for the well-connected in Washington and their overseas friends. After all, Ryan caved on massive budgets and immigration issues, like the leadership has always done. So he's really not much different than his predecessor, John Boehner. So the air is not real friendly between these two, but quickly enters the prince, Reince Priebus, chairman of the National Republican Committee, stating that Trump and Ryan would meet next week to iron out differences. And all I can say to that is if it's Trump versus Ryan, it's no contest. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And you can look at the pictures. They're pretty much what I had up yesterday. It just starts off with the Trump train, which is rolling along. And I'm going to bring on my friend Mark Collier, who was left in the lurch yesterday, wondering what was going on. Mark, the last words I heard from you was, Jim, and then it went blank.
Well, the last words I heard from you were something to the effect that if this were to happen to a Republican or had a Republican had some kind of affair, and then all of a sudden it went dead.
Bam.
So I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jim, are you still there, Jim? So actually we had lost connection. Well, at any rate, we're back in our full faith and glory. It is a little after 7 o'clock, and we're fully charged and ready to go. You've had a busy day, but who's had a really busy day? I have to think that the folks at the Republican National Committee, the party, the apparatus itself, are absolutely, completely unglued. They don't know what to do.
Yes.
And I think this is, it's sad, but it's funny. It's humorous in a way that they go, well, we've got to talk about this. This isn't, you know, going to fit into our little template. I think you're absolutely right. About 3 minutes into the conversation, Mr. Trump is going to explain to the Speaker of the House how it is, what he expects, and where he's going to go with this. Now, I can tell you that our wonderful young speaker is probably going to have nothing to say because he'll be flabbergasted. Even Mitch McConnell, whom I don't trust, you know, longer than a broom handle, okay, I would say he had the good sense to at least say, well, we need to coalesce and start to talk about where we're going and all of this other. Well, that's fairly intelligent because you don't want to hit Donald head on with a stick. It's just not going to work. How do you feel about Mr. Ryan's little gambit? I think he's destined to have his hat handed to him.
Well, I think what's going to happen, I think they'll sit down and have a cordial meeting. And the way it'll work out is Trump will give him an olive branch. And by that means some little thing to make him think he's important. And then they'll come out and everything's going to be all hunky-dory. That's what I think. Trump is a pretty savvy guy. You know, and a lot of what people don't understand, a lot of this stuff that he puts out there, you know, it's a game. It's just showmanship. And when he gets right down to the brass tacks of business, he's no fool. I mean, look what he did. And we won't go back into that. But, I mean, the guy basically took 16 guys and dismantled them in groups at the beginning and then piece by piece after that. And they didn't even know what hit them. And they thought for sure that the things he was doing weren't going to work, and so did the press. And everybody's, you know, got egg all over their face except the Donald. And now what you've got, as we're going towards the finish line, at least on the Republican side, you've got a bunch of people that are unhappy, and they're trying to figure out how they can get even. And all I can say, Mark, is that when you look at that, they better be real careful about trying to get even with Donald Trump, because if you notice, he never comes out on the losing end of the stick in this type of stuff. He's a crafty guy. He's a smart guy. But I think his intentions are very good. I just think that he realized the only way he was going to be able to pull this off was playing hardball the way he does. And it's worked. And everybody is wondering. I mean, I was reading this morning, all these guys in the media are just, they don't understand how could this have happened. How are we all so wrong? You know, Nate Silver, the guy with the New York Times, he's talking, you know, this is the first time I've really been way out of base. What happened? But then he says that Donald's going to be done in. He'll do you in, Nate. I mean, and it would be concerning to me, except I think he's doing it for all the right reasons. I really do. I mean, I think that, yeah, Trump has a demeanor that I wouldn't recommend for the average person, certainly not for me, because it would get me in huge trouble. But, I mean, the guy is trying to get something done, and he's going to take and use what tools he's got to get them done and to get there. And I'm not talking about the election now. I'm talking about after the election. He's got a plan on what he's going to do. But so we got to get there first. But one other thing I wanted to mention that happened today, and we can talk about this. Of course, Papa and Junior George Bush, they're not going to endorse him. They've said that. I mean, I'm not surprised. They would, you know, they certainly, I'm sure they're in abject horror at the thought of a wall. I mean, you've got countries all around the world with walls and all kinds of security at their borders. China did it, you know, thousands of years ago, built a wall. And here we are worried because America needs a wall. Well, it sure does. It needs something to differentiate between Mexico and the United States, because right now there is nothing. So, you know, they don't like that because they're all, of course, in the tank for immigration. Jeb even said, well, I won't support Trump, but I won't support Clinton either. So what are you going to do, Jeb? Are you going to be the guy with the third party? You know, that's the other thing floating around, which, you know, how that's going to work out. It won't. And, of course, you got Vicente Fox, who threw the F-bomb around telling Trump what he could do with his wall, and he was on the airwaves, I guess, yesterday or the day before, maybe it was taped from earlier, just apologizing. And he wants Trump to come down and see how it is in Mexico. Go down there and look at it, Donald, and then tell him, thanks, Vicente, but we're going to build a wall. I mean, this is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. So what do you see coming off in the next few months? Do you think that they're going to coalesce behind him? Do you think there could be some hardcore guys that just end up slapped around in the end because of what they're trying to do? I mean, some of them I don't trust any of them, but I realize that, like you said about McConnell, he's smart enough to realize, and particularly at the age of 76, he doesn't need to get into it with Trump. So, I mean, I think
well,
he understands
look,
that's
here's,
you know,
here's,
the end of the world.
I think we've touched on this before, Jim, and it comes down to this. When the barbarians are at the gate, you've got to lock the door, all right? Protect yourself. That's how it typically works in Washington, all right? Well, you know, we have to deal with him because he is a real force to be reckoned with. Obviously, the highest vote-getting Republican candidate, and I believe in history, you know, or at least back to Reagan, is just destroying the establishment. These guys better come around. He's brought a lot of new people, a lot of new energy, a lot of the base. I heard, Bill, the guy, he used to work in the Reagan administration. And he basically said, you know, he was a little surprised that his protege, Paul Ryan, had said this, but not disappointed. He had laid it out. What's this guy's name? Bill, you know, the guy that used to be the drug czar. Anyway,
Bill Bennett.
Went ahead and said,
Bill Bennett.
Yeah, Bill Bennett. And he's a pretty level-headed guy. You know, he's worked with a lot of people. He knows a lot of these insider types. He spun it this way, and I thought it was very interesting. He's probably covering his young friend's rear end, but he basically said it was a call to meet with Mr. Trump, to sit down and essentially make Paul Ryan relevant. And if you've noticed that he is not relevant to anything.
There's no air in the room left.
Absolutely. In the last 6 months, you couldn't have had a more bland, know-nothing, do-nothing kind of guy. And whatever he did, he just handed over to the Obama administration and said, oh, here, okay. Well, hold on a minute. I have a funny feeling that as the speaker and the ranking member of the Republican Party at this point, he has to finish out this primary process. He has to run a convention. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Trump, here's some issues we need to have some leadership on. You know, there's a lot going to happen between now and September 30th that Mr. Trump's probably not 100% privy to. Right. How do you want to handle Do we want to do that? Is this something that, you know, in my caucus, some people feel this, some people feel that. It's probably an important meeting. And it would appear to me that a lot of positive things could come out of that. He didn't handle the language particularly well, but I think his thing was, you know, sir, we're going to need to talk because there's some things here we need to hammer out. I think that's probably a good thing for both Trump and the speaker, simply because the speaker needs some direction. Where are you going with this? How are we going to do this budget thing? What do you want in there? What do you want out? You know, this is very important appropriations time because this is when these things start to happen. So as far as that goes, they have a number of things to talk about. I kind of think, well, I was trying to think of a nice way to say floating manure in a high wind. That's what I think is going to happen. Levitating, yeah, I guess is the word, levitating manure in a high wind. And you know what I'm trying to get at. I think there's going to be all kinds of machinations, people screaming and yelling. And finally, you know, to answer your question, I think they'll settle down because they realize, look, here we are. This is the story. Our voters have spoken. And I think there are enough Tea Partier types, about 85 of them last I knew, in the House of Representatives, that give the Donald almost 25% of what he needs to get done in that body, right? So that's a nice group to walk in there and say, hey, guys, I heard what you were talking about, and I don't appreciate this. So, you know, we're going to do something different. Those guys are going to go nuts. You know, but everybody else is going to go, oh, my God, this is not right. This isn't going to work. And the Jeb Bush thing is just classic. It just shows you.
Yeah, well, the guy is like you're talking about a guy with no backbone whatsoever. Oh, I'm not going to support Trump, but I won't support Hillary either. How do you spell moderate? You remember, Mark, you know what I always say about moderates. They don't stand for anything. Bingo, Jeb, you just proved what I'm talking about. Stand for nothing.
Well,
I'm telling
you, it's irrelevant. I mean, he's taking himself out of the whole equation. I'm not even going to go to Cleveland.
Well,
he is
irrelevant anyway. He's irrelevant.
Well, he just made it officially so. Yeah, but you know, Jim, what do you think? Because I could see some of these folks in these the hallowed halls of K Street going, "Oh my God, what do we do now?"
I think there's going to be some gnashing and some threatening and all this kind of stuff. But when all is said and done, I think it's going to work out okay. And I'll tell you why. They have nowhere to go. I mean, here's the thing, and I've been through that myself before. You know, I've had so many elections where a guy I wanted ended up losing, and we end up, you know, we had Romney McCain. By the way, Romney has made a complete disgrace of himself over the last 3 or 4 months. He really has. It's unbelievable the things this guy's done. It's like you talk about somebody trying to make themselves relevant. You know, it's like Trump, just smacking a fly. I mean, you know, get out of here. You know, get away. Quit buzzing around me. I'm tired of hearing it. But I think it's going to work out all right. And I think most of these guys will settle down. And I think if they will, and if they'll try to, you know, work appropriately. They don't have to agree with Trump on everything. He knows that. I think he respects other opinions, but it's a question of how you go about it. And, you know, I think that it'll be fine. And I really think that, and I've said this to several people I know, because I've had a lot of combat with some of the people that used to be my allies on some of these things because of my support for Trump in the recent months. But these guys saying never Trump, I mean, come on, folks. So what are you going to do? You going to put Hillary in? Here's what I say about it. If you say never Trump and you follow through on it, you basically mean never America, because America's going to be done. I mean, Hillary is going to be the third term or worse of Barack Obama. She's going to take the last leg of the journey that Obama's got us on. And we're already on our knees ready to go over the side because of all this stuff at the border. I mean, we're bringing in hundreds of thousands of people nonstop, nobody checking anything. Disease, killers, you know, everything in the world, drugs, it's coming across, and they're sitting back watching it happen. And, you know, at some point, all of that evil that's been brought in is going to start something. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to happen, if it happens right after the election. Picture this, Mark. Picture Trump.
Yes,
wins,
I almost
and
agree.
And we're in the last
60
days. You know, that's the scary part. That's what you got to be concerned about, because, you know, if Obama wants to get even, and of course, as you know, Obama does not take adversity very well at all. You know, he thinks he's something special. If he decides to put a kink in the arm, or even worse, and maybe even just bring down the government, you know, that's the time for the chaos. So people got to be prepared. And I'm telling you, but, you know, you still got to get in the fight. And I mean, it's going to be a fight, because, you know, there are people that are just diametrically opposed to everything about this country that are currently still in high places. And there are many more people that are at home who are sick of what's going on in this country and want to change. Well, you know, you got an issue there, and it's somewhere it's somebody's got to give. And I don't think the average American guy is going to give. I don't think he's going to give. I think they've reached the breaking point on this bending America into being the third stooge of the world. Because, I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, did you hear about what happened, that deal in Afghanistan, over in Baghdad? You know, our troops over there and the special forces.
Oh, with
forces,
the green zone, yeah.
Well, yeah, but they were in that fight, you know, where that one, where that one SEAL was killed. Those guys didn't have weapons. They had the video and the tape of the guys yelling, "We can't do anything. Where are our weapons? We don't have any weapons." We're sending special forces kinds of guys, you know, special ops, all these guys over there as supposedly advisors, and they're sending them out with these guys, and they have no weapons. You got to be kidding me. You got to be absolutely kidding me. What in the world is going on here? So you know, and, but there was something really good happened today. Guess who came out for Trump?
Who?
Dick never missed a guy that I didn't try to shoot Cheney. Dick Cheney came out.
At least Trump knows not to go on a quail hunting trip with him.
Yeah, he put his thumb in George's eye. That's what he did. Take that, George. But that was a smart move. I mean, you know, all these guys. I mean, come on. And Bobby Jindal jumped right off the bat, said he would support Trump. I mean, he just came out and said, "Well, you guys gonna support Hillary? Really? Is that what you're gonna do?" So I think there's gonna be some crazy stuff going on. I still don't trust the rhinos, and when it gets to convention time, but I don't think they are in any position where they can do anything. Because I really tell you, Trump now has 1,053 delegates, so he only needs about 180, 185, something like that. If he doesn't, and of course you know he's got New Jersey with 50 votes, he's got West Virginia with 34, and then California's got 172. He'll probably get 130 of them, maybe more. Now he might get them all. Who knows? But what I'm saying is, so he's going to be over the number, and there's no question, I mean, significantly. And of course, it doesn't matter when everybody drops out. If they try to pull back in now, can you imagine one of these guys who said, "I suspend my campaign," and they go into the convention, and now he tries to try to get himself back in there at the end of the game? What's going to happen? The average guy watching this on TV, as well as even the delegates, I think. Because I think most of those delegates are
saying, "Oh, Jim, it'll be a free-for-all. I don't think that'll happen." Even Marco Rubio, you know, has enough sense to say, well, you know, he is the party nominee. You know, and, you know, I don't know if Marco is looking for a job or he's, you know, just sort of going along so they don't, you know, ruin his career. He's only, I think, what, 48, something like that. So, you know, I mean, you might be right. I thought he was
41 when he was. He might be. He's in his 40s.
But you know, it doesn't matter. At least he's smart enough to know you got to sort of swim in the direction of the river's flowing, right? If you want to get there, swimming upstream is very difficult, not going to work. And it's all flowing toward Donald Trump. So here's the thing. I think the people who are politically savvy and been through these sea changes before, like McConnell back and forth, he's been around since, you know, Hector was a pup. And a lot of these other guys going, well, you know, if that's what the people want and that's what the man says, we'll figure out, you know, we'll put some committee together and it'll sit there and then, you know, then we'll kill it, right? Well, you know, I don't think that's going to work with Mr. Trump.
I think
he understands
that
they're going to try to waste him away. You know, they only have to stall him for about two and a half years, and then his first term of his presidency is effectively over. I just don't know.
Well, but remember,
these people will be enthusiastic. You know, but I think
he's
got a plan for
this.
That, too. I don't doubt that he'll walk in, probably sit down with the leadership, the Republican Senate, you know, and say, look, this is what we're going to do. I expect that if it gets through the House, you guys are going to take up action on this. I'm not going to sit here and watch you kill 6, 8, 9 months piddling around, not doing a darn thing. Now, that's going to be a conversation. It's not going to be public because
the language
is probably going to be a little rough, not necessarily for children to hear, right? But that's kind of how I see it going, and you're right. I think he'll clear a path right through K Street. All these little lawyers, they've got nothing better to do. This is how they make their money. And they're going to go, here it
they,
is.
They're going to go with
it's
the
a new administration.
With the big microphone. Yeah, you got to. What people have to realize is that whoever's in that Oval Office, he's got the soapbox. He can always take it over anybody and go right to the people. Reagan was good at that, very good. He was a master of that. And Trump, and obviously, when he gets on the air, starts talking. And, of course, if he's in the White House, he will do it in a much more genteel manner, but he will get the message across, here's what I'm trying to do, and the Congress doesn't want to go along with it. And this is one of the things that you guys sent me here to do. So what do you want to do about it? Do you want to get involved? Why don't you get on the phone and call your congressman and say, you better support the president? He's like that, and they will. It's just like when I was talking the other day about that guy that works for the blue-collar guy sitting at the bar after work knowing that his job's going to end in 3 or 4 months, and he has no idea about his future, and Trump comes on and says, we're going to stop the wave of immigrants coming across the border. We're going to close it, and we're going to require that Americans get the jobs. Bingo. It's not going to take a whole lot because these guys, the way they do everything is in secret. And if they pull one of those deals on Trump, oh, my Lord, can you imagine? Can you imagine Trump gets in and finds
out
something at 2 o'clock in the morning in the
all
cocoa?
Over the front pages the next day. Look, Trump isn't going to take that. This silent, backroom nonsense, that's one of the reasons I think he's running. The Republican Party really, really, really needed the resurgence of some energy. You look at what they've done, particularly since about 2010, and, we were involved in that Tea Party stuff early on. They tried to sandbag these guys every way they could. They co-opted them.
That's right.
They just took the language from them but then didn't do anything. Okay, so then Obama was reelected in 2012. And then, of course, 2014, it was a landslide for, legislative GOP. What's the first thing they did? Capitulated and turned it all over to him. They didn't even put up a fight. So, I think that kind of attitude is not going to play. And I think he's also the kind of guy who, if he finds a young man, say, like that guy that you were talking about in Mississippi, he'll go down there and campaign for him. This young man was denied the right to, represent his people by some dirty tricks, and I didn't appreciate it, and he doesn't either. So, you could just see him down there on the stump with 50,000 people and in some college stadium, going, we're not going to take it this time.
He's a force to be reckoned with on that stuff.
Well, that's how I think he'll go about it. He has not only the pulpit, he has the access to the media that most people don't have. We shall see.
By the way,
go ahead.
Christie's campaign money, all of his debts were paid off today. Trump's having a fundraiser for
Trump's first fundraiser?
Yeah, fundraiser for Christie, got his campaign debts paid off. I don't think Christie's going to be vice president of the United States. Trump's not going to pull a New Jersey guy in with New York. That just doesn't make any sense. Plus, Christie's too liberal. It's going to be somebody more conservative. I don't know who it's going to be. You were talking about Marco. It could very easily be Rubio. I could see that happening. Because, Rubio was smart enough to – I'm sure he's made a bunch of courtesy calls to Trump in the meantime, and those guys probably are – it's working all right. Rubio's no dummy. He's not my choice, but I could see that being one, Florida being a big state that you need to get. I've looked at this list of people. You know, some people are saying it could even be Newt Gingrich.
I'm not on board with that. I'd rather see somebody Sessions in there. Go ahead.
Well, but Jeff is better in the Senate, I'm telling you. He's great in the Senate. But maybe he wants to give it up. If that's the case, that would be fine. The only thing I like about Gingrich is nobody can pull the wool over his eyes on what Congress does.
that understands
how everything works. But then you've got, you know, another guy's even talking about General Mad Dog Mattis, the most outspoken Marine who left active duty, and he's telling the truth about what's going on. There was a movement to start a third party with him, and he niched that. But I could see him saying he wants to run. He would take vice president. I could also see him getting up there, and I guarantee him he wouldn't be like Admiral Stockdale. Remember him, the guy that got up there?
Oh,
and says,
God,
why am
I don't
here?
Know why I'm here. Yeah. That was amazing. I don't even know why I'm here. Well, I think it's going to be interesting times. I think all of these people start jumping down, up and down, and standing on their heads and going, oh, God,
yeah.
Oh, God. And even Bill Kristol is probably going to wind up having to eat crow, and he's a schmuck. So I think they'll probably all go, okay, yeah. Well, and then what will happen, and I've got a funny feeling, I do. I think Hillary's going to stumble. I think, to finish up our thoughts from the other night, I just don't think she's got it. Nobody thinks she's all that terrific. Party doesn't even
like
her.
Well, she's a horrible campaigner.
45% of her party doesn't like her, right? So, are these people going to be enthused when she's the nominee? I doubt it. So I can see Mary Madeline, who is now a libertarian, I was surprised to see that, but she said she's never Clinton, anybody but Clinton, and she's a provisional Trump. Well, okay, I can get that, but I see...
Well, provisional just means she's trying to make sure her friends don't completely drop her, to give her time to say, well, I thought it through and we have no alternative. That's what that means. The same thing with Ryan.
Well,
what's Ryan?
But do you see landslide? She was the one that said I could see Trump in a landslide.
Well, so did Rush Limbaugh yesterday, by the way. And I think it's very possible.
Well, all he has to do is pick off one northeastern state. Of course, Florida and Ohio are big for Republicans, but I think he can pull off at least one of those states. That changes the equation. I don't think he'll win the Northwest. Too many liberals out there.
Well, no, I think
he will make Hillary Clinton divert resources and time to an area that she can always count on. And I think that'll be probably her downfall because she won't be able to handle the questions. What did that one guy in West Virginia said? You are supposedly you're going to take care of us, and yet you were the one talking about shutting down
the
coal companies.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. People, that wasn't some hack in there from the Republican Party. That was some guy says, this doesn't make any sense, right? I think a lot of people are going to start doing that.
I think you're right.
Well,
but
she's got all of this baggage she's dragging around, and she thinks she's entitled. It's not going to happen. I honestly believe that when Trump gets up there on stage, he's going to start talking about, in the debates, he's going to start talking about, well, you said this and you didn't deliver. You said that and you've never done this, and you went ahead and did this instead. And I just see that just tying her up in knots. She's going to have to not only defend herself, her husband, to whatever extent he really is a husband, and the current administration. That's a hard one to try to weave through. So I don't think that's going to play well. I think people are going to see that, we're going to want somebody, even though he's a little bombastic and occasionally irritating, we're going to need somebody like that as president. Right.
I just think it's going to come down to that.
I wouldn't surprise me if he takes 40 states, 45 states.
Well, I think it'll be. I tend to believe that too, and I just can't see it any other way. I mean, I don't think we're that far gone. If we are, then it doesn't matter who you elect, because if we're that far gone, it ain't going to matter. But I think that it's just, this is a real fascinating chapter in American presidential political history. I mean, there's never been anything quite like this. We are watching something that is absolutely new, and they're going to be writing a lot of books about this thing, I'm telling you, when it's over with. And it's all because the ideology doesn't work. Particularly in this year, the ideology doesn't work. The liberal ideology doesn't work. The conservative ideology, in terms of just talking about constitutionalism and those types of terms, they don't work. What's going on right now is people are concerned that we have lost everything we have, and I don't just mean money here, just we have lost all of the traditions. Everything about America is being, you know, just ripped apart. And people have had enough of that. They want a decent style of life. They want to be able to take care of their family. They want to be able to do what they want to do. They don't really want anybody else telling them what to do about everything. They're sick of that. So even though they say Trump is big government, I don't really think he is. I think he's got big ideas. And I think he'll use whatever means it takes to try to get those through. But I don't think Trump really wants to tell you what to do with your life. I think a lot of times when they say, well, he's just another liberal, he's talking about what he might do himself. But I don't think he's talking about what he wants everybody else to do. I don't think that's what his game is. I think his game is going to be figuring out how to get the country, you know, employed again and keep it safe. I think those are the things that are going to be driving him, because that's, you know, he wants the country to be successful just like a business is. That's what a CEO is supposed to do. You know, he's not supposed to be buried in ideology. I mean, granted, you've got your views, you've got conservatives, you've got liberals, whatever. But when you get buried in that, where you will give up everything and what's not working because, oh, well, my ideology says do it this way, that's what we're going to do. That's, friends, what we've been faced with for the last 8 years. This guy has an ideology, and he's going to do whatever it takes to try to get that through. And frankly, it's tyranny.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the way I see it. So I think this is refreshing. I think there's some things that have happened that I wish they'd been handled a little differently, but I don't think it's a problem in the end. I think it's going to work out. I think people just need to think it through, get rid of the people that are unhappy, get rid of your anger. The people that are really, really happy about what's happened, they need to kind of take a chill pill and lower the rhetoric. Quit the gloating and the bragging. I'm not saying that they don't have a right to gloat and brag a little bit, because that's human nature. But just keep it a little bit calm and let it settle down, and we can roll this thing right on through. That train won't even have to stop at the station on the way by. It'll just move right on through it.
You may be right. It just seems that the rate he's going, it just, and what was really surprises me about this is that a conventional politician, you know, a career politician, could not have said the things that he has said and lasted more than 3 weeks. It's, there's something
about
him.
Well, that's what they thought would
happen with Trump, you know. And they just, it's just that people cannot believe it. And so sometimes there's this aura of inevitability, and he certainly got it, because people go, well,
well,
you know
what, Mark? Think about this. You say, and that's true what you're saying, but the problem with the traditional political action is they never are willing to really stand for something. See, that's the difference. Trump gets up there and says, I'm going to build a wall. And when they look at him, like, what are you talking about? It's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest, baddest wall that was ever created. I'm going to create it, and they're going to pay for it. And he doesn't back down from it. He didn't back down. So the point is, everybody else backs down as soon as they say it. Oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. Trump didn't say it. No, he didn't. I didn't. That's exactly what I meant to say. We're going to build a wall. Bingo. And so, you know, that's kind of a marker for him. If he doesn't build that wall, his support's going to drop off real fast. he needs to get that ball rolling on the wall real quick. And of course, he can. He's got the ability to do that. He knows where to go, you know, who to ask. I mean, it's going to be something to watch. So I just think people just need to relax about the whole thing, and just just give him a chance to get through the campaign stuff. And then we'll see where the action goes. The problem with the guy that he's replacing is that's all he knew how to do was campaign. I mean, he's great
right.
at campaigning.
You're
but,
absolutely
you know,
right.
Nothing else. There's nothing but the campaign. He's been campaigning since he was elected. So, you know, the whole 8 years. So I'm optimistic. And even being optimistic, I realize we got a tough road ahead because we're so far in the hole. It's going to be hard to dig out of this. But somebody with some force, you know, has got to be the one to come in there and get the ball rolling and get it kick started. And I think that Donald Trump's probably the guy for that. And I don't know that there was anybody else at this time in America that could do that.
I would agree with you, and I would say it this way. It's common sense has overtaken politics or ideology.
Yes.
We have some pragmatic yes. things that we have to do in this country to get things back on track. I read just an obscure article. It was floating around. Somebody had tallied it up. There's something like 24-plus million immigrants, illegals, et cetera, immigrants, all kinds, shapes, and forms, that are employed. Now, if you look at that number, that's staggering, particularly
yep.
when you have 94 million Americans trying to find work. You know, you're having people
yep.
laid off all over. Labor Statistics, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, part of the Labor Department, comes out and says, well,
yes.
we've had a downward revise, February's numbers, March numbers, that we created the fewest jobs in a long time, blah, blah, blah. But it's still only 5%. What about
yeah,
the
yeah, how can that be?
Okay.
Yeah.
It cannot be
it's
that
crazy.
Way. You wouldn't run these
no.
deficits, and as Trump said, there wouldn't be anybody showing up at my rallies if that was the case. So, you know, common sense, people go, well, yeah, you know, you're right, and they wouldn't show up. And, you know, I haven't been able to find a job. Kids living in the basement of their parents' houses. That's not America. So I think, you
yeah.
know, as it comes down to it, people will just wake up and say, you know, you're absolutely right, Jim. It could be just as simple as this, and politics frequently is.
Yeah, they make it difficult because the
you know they're going.
Get paid
you know, it makes sense to me. I'm just going to go ahead and do that because we've got to do something. It just comes down to it, just as simple as that. This is not working.
I think you're right.
Let's try something else. That actually makes perfect sense.
Well, I think you're right, Mark, and we're starting to run out of time here in just a minute. But I just
oh no, not again.
Need to, yeah, well, I mean, we've got a little bit of time, but I don't want to run us right to the wire. But you know, I think it's refreshing because for once somebody is going to try something different. You know, you do the same thing over and over again with the same results that are negative. When do you finally realize you got to try something different? You know, I mean, that's the problem. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, whatever, if it's going back for 45 years, they've done things the way they do. Look at our foreign policy, the State Department crap, the way that operates, all this stuff, the Defense Department. Yeah, you got to have a Defense Department. You got to have a strong army, but you don't have to buy stuff that you don't need in droves because somebody lives in that district. I mean, and that's what's been going on for the last at least 50 years. And we've got to start getting some discipline on money. We need zero-based budgeting. That's what we've got to have. We need people, they need every year to have to sit down and go through that damn budget line by line. That's what they need to do. And that's the only way you're going to make some real cuts. And some people are going to complain, and the lobby groups are going to complain. That's where a guy like Trump can just get up and say, sit down and shut up. And that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it. You take it to the public and you say, look, folks, do you want to go bankrupt and lose everything you got, or do you want us to get this thing under control so that you'll be able to live decently? You got a choice. You got 15 seconds. Give me your answer. because that's where we are. We got 15 seconds left. If you look on the scale of American politics, we've been doing this for every year. We're going to fix the budget, right? And then when they make a change to it, anything that is supposed to be positive about it is 10 years out. But all the new expenditures are now. I mean, come on, it doesn't take a moron to figure that out. And that's what they do. And the average guy just doesn't pay attention. So we got to straighten that out. And I think, you know, a guy like Trump's the kind of guy that'll take a stab at it. We'll see. You know, we could be totally disappointed, but I don't think so. Last word from you.
Well, I'm going to end that on that note. I don't think so. I think we're going to see some serious changes. I think what's interesting is actually very comforting to me is young people are receptive to the message. I can only say that based on family members, but
future,
I can tell you that, you know, that's kind of heartening. So let's see if it sticks. Now, I've got another family member who just doesn't buy into that at all, but I can tell you that at least it's heartening that the majority of the group seems to think that this might not be a bad way to go, and they're looking for a future too. So, you know, it could be an extremely positive change for a lot of people, and change the mentality or the mindset of the American people so that we are taking this country.
We got to do something.
There you go.
Make it great again. There you go. Well, that's great, Mark. And I think we're on to something. I think this is a good segment. Listeners, I want to apologize for what happened yesterday. I have no idea what happened yesterday, but it turned out all right. So it didn't happen tonight, knock on wood. But we're glad I'm glad that whatever happened to change our focus just a little bit, because we got plenty of time to talk about Hillary. You know, we can talk about Hillary in September and October. That's the time we can talk about
Hillary. Well, we just had all of this little levitating storm going on in Washington, D.C. It's just very interesting that all these people have now started talking to each other, how are we going to deal with this? Why do you want to, you know? I think cooler heads will prevail. I think Mr. Ryan and Mr. Trump will probably get along famously. To be honest with you,
I don't think
Paul Ryan is a fool. I think he understands it. He just wants some assurances that he's going to be involved in the play, which is as he should be.
Paul,
he's got Speaker of the House, he should be.
Paul, as long as you don't support another nuclear Iran, we'll get along fine. anyway, enough of that.
All right, Jim. I think you got the point there.
Well,
all right.
Yeah. Well, this is great, Mark. And, folks, I just want you to know that I appreciate your patience on this situation, what happened. But here we go. I think we had a pretty good go at it tonight, and we'll continue on, and I'll have Mark back again in a week or so. We always do that at least once a week or so, and have a good time with that. My next show will be my Sunday morning coming down devotional. It will probably be up and running sometime later tomorrow, and it will be about Mother's Day, because don't forget, folks, Mother's Day is here, and you better take care of Mom, because if you don't take care of Mom, she's not going to take care of you. And if you're like most of us, that means you're in trouble. So that's what we'll do. And, of course, all of my shows remain on demand and available. You can look for them. This one will be on availability 24/7, about 10 minutes after we sign off. And all of my shows are there, and you can find them at blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. That's blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live, and check out my website, will you? NorthFloridaWriter.com. And you can also send in comments if you'd like. I've gotten some good ones lately, and I appreciate it. It kind of gives me some ideas, and it lets me know what people are thinking. And the more we share our ideas with one another, probably the smarter we get. Anyway, folks, that's the show for tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember, it's Friday, and it's 5 o'clock now in the United States everywhere. Well, almost. It'll be 5 o'clock everywhere in 11 minutes. So enjoy, And remember also the government is shut down for a couple of days. That's a very comforting thought. So for Mark Collier and me, I want to just say thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. And let's all do whatever we can, in whatever way we can, to make this great country truly great again. And we're going to sign off with Mr. Trump's favorite music from his campaign rallies, because I just like it. I like the Stones, so we're going to play that as our finale tonight. And in the meantime, folks, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget to thank the one who made you Sunday. And don't forget your mom either. And we'll see you again real soon. Thanks again, and bye now. Never stop, never stop, never stop.